We are going to just dive right in. And so we've been in a series called Faith in Action, and we're doing a book series. We're going through James. And so we're currently in chapter 2, in case you haven't been following along. But I do encourage you to read along with us. But and we're going straight through it. And so James, he doesn't hold anything back. He's not interested in empty religion or surface level Christianity, right? And James was this guy. He was the half-brother of Jesus. He wasn't a believer, and we know that because Scripture told us. But something took place that kind of shifted his whole paradigm. And it was the fact that his brother, Jesus, right, predicted his death, burial, and resurrection, and he pulled it off. And so James is like, there must be something to this whole Messiah bit that Jesus has been spewing about for a while. And so he became not only a follower, but a leader in the church in Jerusalem. And so he's writing to scattered, struggling church, believers in the thick of trial, temptation, and people a lot like us, right? Right now, Christians are scattered all over the world, and we face so many temptations and hardship, and there's just things going on in our lives, right, that endeavor to pull us away from the things of God. And so even though James wrote this 2,000 years ago to a particular people group, it is a letter to us and to our season and our situation. And so in week one, we learned that God uses battles to build us, right? And sometimes we fall into this narrative, and it's a lie that Christians aren't going to face hardship, right? And maybe you bought into that, and that's why you became a believer, and you thought everything was just going to be great forever, right? Rainbow and sunshines, and then something smacked you in the face, and you're like, but I thought God loved me, and the truth of the matter is, he does. And bad things happen, not because God's bad, but because the world screwed up, right? There's all the sin, but God has something for us in the hard places, right? And as we go through them and we endure well and suffer well, God will produce something out of that. And he'll form something deeper through our trials. And week two, James told us, don't just listen, do it, right? That God's word's like a mirror. And it's useless if we don't look and examine ourselves, right? We have to be introspective. And as we're introspective and begin to look at the places and use it, then it's useful. But otherwise, if we just hear and don't do, right? We listen and there's no action behind it, then it's useless. It's like looking into a mirror and walking away. And so we've got to apply it. And then week three, last week, we were reminded that grace levels the ground. Pride and favoritism do not belong in God's family, right? That we fall into categories. And typically, we look down on people that don't live the way that we think they should, right? Or we elevate people we shouldn't, right? Just because they're famous or they've done something that we consider to be of notoriety. And we begin to give them a voice and a place in our lives that's just not warranted. And so there's no room for favoritism, right? Because we're all a part of God's family. We're, as we become believers and we make that hand raise and that commitment, we begin to follow him and he's Lord, that really does level the playing ground. We're all in need of Jesus, not a one of us more than the other, and we're all a part of the body, and we should act in unity. And tonight, we're going even deeper. The title of tonight's message is just Faith That Does Something, right? Faith that's in action. It's kind of like the anchor message for this entire series. And so, because James says this, if your faith never shows up in your life, it may not be faith at all. And what I mean by that, right, that if you made that commitment at some point, and I get this, some of you haven't, right? You're on the fence, and you're like, this is all bull crap. I don't believe it. I came for the hot dog and the hamburgers. Man, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Don't feel offended. I really am. But for those of us that have made that commitment, right, and we consider ourselves to be Christians, our life should actually look different than it did yesterday, in a good way, right? We shouldn't be going backwards, and we shouldn't be standing still either, that there should be progress. And works don't save us, but our faith, that saving faith, the work that God's done, it should produce something in our lives that's a positive change as we move in the direction of being image bearers, right? The Imago Dei, that we're carrying this image of Christ, that we're living epistles, that our lives, that when people look at them, that those that don't know Jesus will come to know Jesus. And that's what James is saying. We got to have this faith that's in action, this faith that does something. And if your faith never shows up in your life, it's not faith at all. And so here's the question we're going to wrestle with tonight. What does your faith actually do? But if you were to ask yourself, right, to have that private conversation, just you and God, that the faith that you proclaim to have, how has it changed your life? Have you stayed the same? I know I did for years. I was in this particular church, where I really made a commitment, and I'm saying that very sarcastically, to follow Jesus. I mean, I showed up on Sundays, and I served in some ministries, and I gave, but my life looked exactly the same, right? My Monday through Saturday, or any time I wasn't at church, it was just the same. And I put on this facade, and I would show up and do things and smile, but really the faith didn't change the way that I lived, right? That's dead faith, according to James. And so we gotta begin to ask ourselves, what does your faith actually do? What work has it produced in your life? How has it shifted the way that you think and act and speak? We live in a culture that's full of talk. People know the lingo, post the verses, and throw out thoughts and prayers. This is my new favorite, right? Good vibes, man. Can I get a good vibe over here? What the heck is that? I don't even know what that is. But we begin to just fall into these things, but that's not what God's looking for. He wants that profession, but he wants himself to be Lord in our lives too. And if he's Lord, he's authority. And we submit and we surrender our lives to him. And when he says jump, we say how high, right, type of thing. And you're like, that doesn't seem like a great relationship. I'm telling you, it is. It is, because we don't know how to navigate our lives. And God's saying, man, surrender to me. And the faith that you have, it should motivate you and push you in the direction that I have for you. And James is like, man, faith that's just talk, that doesn't work. Faith that works is faith that walks, right? We've got not only to talk the talk, but we've got to walk the walk. We've got to begin to back it up. And you may be in a season where you've shown up and you've done things and you've gone through the motions and you've never experienced real life change. And so I have to ask you, man, have you just talked the talk or walked the walk? Right? Are you engaged in groups? Are you reading your Bible? Do you have an active prayer life? Right? Are you surrendering your finances? Are you not just stepping away from bad things, but stepping towards righteous things? Is there something that's really been developed and cultivated in your life? Or you just have a bunch of lip service? Right? We need faith that walks. It moves, it obeys, it sacrifices, it shows up in the middle of your mess and said, God, I'm yours. That was really the pivotal moment for me. Again, I showed up to this building, this church, for almost 6 years without any significant change in my life. None. I gave, I served, I was a part of it, and people knew me. I didn't sit in the back row. And what was different? Again, I wasn't surrendered. My faith didn't walk. I just talked the talk. And it was really in that moment that I said, man, my actions are gonna begin to line up with the word of God, that things really shifted. I could have thrown in the towel and said, man, this God thing, it's not for me. It's not even real. He doesn't even listen, after having just half-hearted faith. And so many of us do that. Again, we cherry pick, we put one foot in, one toe, maybe at best, do some of the things, but we never really fully surrender. And then when it doesn't work, we blame God. And I'm just telling you, and I say this often, and I can't say it enough, that if you'll really just give him a year of having the kind of faith that James is talking about, you cannot come back to me a year from now and say your life is not better and different and completely transformed and changed. And that's what James is saying. We gotta have that kind of faith that commits. And I'm telling you this too, you give it a year like that, man, try to walk away from it. Try to go back to the old. You won't want anything to do with it, because a day in this life is better than 10,000 in the other, right? As God begins to bring us to that place of surrender, transformative faith. And so faith that works is faith that walks. It moves, it obeys, it sacrifices. It shows up in the middle of your mouth and said, God, I'm yours. And so tonight, if your faith was put on trial, would there be enough evidence to convict you? It's amazing to me. I can't remember if I've said it here or teaching at this other church, but it's this idea that when we look at scripture, right? When we look at the life of Paul, what did he have to point to for New Testament faith, this New Testament covenant, right? Scriptures weren't written yet. They had some letters circulating. You know what the main thing was? His life. He actually said, follow me as I follow Jesus. Right, and we read about the lives of these individuals in the New Testament, and through their stories of how they lived and operated, we're able to come to know Jesus. If somebody read your story 100 years from now, would they come to know Jesus? If your faith was put on trial in such a way, would it move anybody towards God? Like it does when we read theirs. I'm stirred up when I read about the life of Paul. I'm stirred up when I read about James and Peter, right? And I'm stirred up towards God, and I want more, and I'm hungry. And I just have to wonder, will anybody be stirred up that way if they read my story? If my faith was put on trial, Would it be evidence enough to convict me? And so if you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn to James chapter 2, verse 14. And we're going to wrap up chapter 2 tonight. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, I'm 90% sure I remembered to put the notes on there. Praise God. So it was really chaotic today as I was trying to fill in some of Donica's shoes. So, and we also have a handout for you. And I can't stress enough, use the devotional. It's at the end of the notes. You can save the events. And then we have a paper copy, right? Don't just show up once a week. Do something every day that draws you closer to God. And that devotional is a really simple tool. But James chapter 2, verse 14, it starts with this. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? And I just want you to rest on that. What good is it if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Can that kind of faith save anyone? And for so many of us, myself included, if I'm not careful, I fall into this. A lot of lip service, a lot of talk, and not a whole lot of action, right? Not a whole lot of movement. And James is just calling us out. What good is that? What good is that? Can that faith save anybody? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good did that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless, right? That we can't just have this mindset and I'm a saved child of God. You know, he loves me no matter what I do. No. Like, you have dead and useless faith. Like, there's this action that should be produced in us, this fruit, right? That your greatest purpose, again, in life is not holding down this chair. Gravity does a good job of that all by itself, right? That we should be stirred up into action to make our mark in this community for his sake. And so we have to ask ourselves, is our faith dead and useless? You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. Can we all agree, right? There's one God. Good for you. I love James, right? Because he's a man after my own heart. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And James is mine because he's just blunt and direct. He's like, man, if you're not doing anything, you got dead and useless faith. You say you believe in one God, good for you. And he goes on this, for even the demons. You ever think about that? For even the demons believe this. And they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? I've asked this before, and you may not have been present, so I'm going to do it again. I mean, there's this idea, right? And Paul tells us in Romans, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved. And when you're unpacking that, sometimes we think, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. And James is saying, good for you. Like, what does that accomplish? What profound thing have you unraveled there? I mean, Paul tells us in Romans that you'd have to be pretty dense not to look at creation and see that there's a God and that's his handiwork out there. So good for you. Even the demons believe that. And so where is the point where we begin to deviate from them, right? We know their story. Where do we deviate? It's with making God authority, Lord in our lives, right? That we surrender all to him. He says, for even the demons believe that, and they tremble in fear. And some of us, we believe and we don't tremble. We have no fear of God, right? Because he's our homeboy and our bro. He should be your king and your Lord. He says, for even the demons believe this. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? It should be something that stirs us up. That we no longer cherry pick. And we no longer bend scripture to our lives. We bend our lives to it in reverence, in holy fear, in awe of this powerful God. And James starts, he calls out one dangerous deception, thinking that belief is enough. Thinking that belief is enough. This is why I didn't change for 6 years. Because I fell in the same camp as the enemy. I recognized there was a God, that Jesus was his son, but I didn't make him Lord, and I didn't allow my faith to be stirred up and called to action. Just saying I have faith doesn't prove anything. Our belief alone is not enough, and that's point number one. That if we're going to do this, we're going to be involved in this, engaged in the things of God, we have to go beyond belief. Our belief alone is not enough. We live in a culture obsessed with information, podcasts, books, spiritual reels, endless faith-based content. But James says you can believe all the right things and still be spiritually dead. We can have all the right head knowledge. We can know all the verses. Even the demons do. Like, right? I mean, that's not the off-ramp. It's in recognizing him as authority and submitting and surrendering our lives to him. And if we do that, it should produce works. It should produce works. Works don't save us. But if we're saved, you've been called to action, right? If Jesus is your Lord, if you would say that, he has a plan and a purpose for you, right? There's something you should be doing. And it's not showing up for an hour a week. It's more than that. Much more than that. Our faith should produce works. Faith isn't just an intellectual agreement. It's not enough to say, yeah, I believe in God. Real faith transforms how you live. Transforms how you live. Belief without obedience is deception. And when we look at Christians in the Bible, you know, this is interesting, that the nominal Christian that we have today, the Christian that just shows up, raises their hand, and nothing changes in their life, that does not exist in Scripture. There's no such thing for what we see taking place in our country today. No place for that. There's believers and non-believers, and believers are all in. They're not on the fence. They don't have partially surrendered lives. We see them surrendering everything, selling their possessions, being full in, all the way to death, a death of their own. And we won't even face minimal inconveniences. And again, I've been guilty of the same thing. And we have to have this faith that stirs us up, that transforms how we live. And belief without obedience is deception. And James makes the statement, even the demons believe in God. They know who he is, they tremble, but they don't obey him, and they aren't saved. Information about God without transformation by God, it's dead faith. It's dead faith. And so are you mistaking, and again, this is, I want you to rest in this. Are you mistaking belief for faith? Have you been guilty of that? It's my story. Where's your faith shot short of obedience? Real faith is obedience. In James 2:21, he says this, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. The faith in action. And I don't know if it's just we're dense or lazy, but so oftentimes we know that God wants us to move, but we refuse. And then we have this example. This is what we see. We see men of faith move to action. Men of faith move to action. Women of faith, they were moved to action. And so it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called a friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do. We are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. We don't like that because that means you may have to give up something that's comfortable. You may have to do something that's inconvenient. You may be put out, right, in some way. But real faith, saving faith, transformative faith, it moves us to action. James gives us this example of Abraham, this story with this thread that he acted on what he believed. He acted on what he believed. My second point is this, our faith is proven by our action. It's proven by our action. We celebrate intentions, but James celebrates obedience. You know, I love my kids, and because I love them, there's things I do for them, right? I feed them, I water them, at least every day, you know? Sometimes twice a day. You know, it's the summer, so I get them like the gravy train kibbles, and it's just, I just want to be good to them because summers are long. But, you know, because I love them, right, there's action. If I did nothing for my children, would you say, you really love them? Of course not, right? I mean, if there was nothing I was doing for them. Now, I love my wife because I love my wife. There's things that I do for her. Some things I agree with. Some things I don't agree with, right? But because I love her, I compromise, I stretch, I do things that I don't want to do, you know, help with things I don't want to help with. I refuse to help with laundry, though. My love has limits, and that's just the limit. So, but we do that. We see that, right? And we know that in relationships. But when it comes to the things of God, we'll be like, man, I love God. But we refuse to compromise, refuse to be inconvenienced, oftentimes refuse to do anything. There are so many in this room right now that you have called yourself Christians for years, and if I were to ask where you serve, you couldn't give me an answer. Oh, I'm so busy. My kids have so much going on. I got 6 kids. I serve a lot. I work a full-time job here at the church, and I serve 20-plus hours with Live Free every week. I work and serve, right? But we'll come up with whatever. Now it's ball season, 365 days a year. Right? Faith in action. You'll be inconvenienced. You'll be uncomfortable. Right? Our love, it should motivate us to do something, to be involved. How are you serving God's purpose? How are you serving God's purpose? That's part of putting your faith on trial. Our faith is proven by our action. We don't celebrate intentions around here. You can have all the good intentions in the world, right? It's meaningless. I mean, and again, I just think, man, if I tell my wife I'm going to do something, I remember we had a bathroom. I told her for like 6 years I was going to do it. Honey, I'm going to get around to that. No joke, it was 6 years. She really didn't care about my intentions for those 6 years. Every couple months, we fought about the bathroom, right? It's not done. I'm pissed off at you. You know, we would go round and round, right? Because it doesn't matter. You know what proved to her that I was holding up my end of the bargain? When I finished the bathroom. When she came home and it was done, that's what mattered, right? That's what mattered. I wasn't just talking, not just lip service, action. That's what God's looking for. And James says we celebrate obedience. We need to act on what we believe. Faith isn't proven in church attendance. It's not. Though if Jesus is Lord, the word says we shouldn't forsake the gathering. But it doesn't stop here. Like, this is not the pinnacle of your existence, right? This is not it. This is just a part of it. It's not proven by church attendance. It's proven in obedience. And Abraham, he was willing to offer his son. And faith without follow through is fake. Abraham's faith led him to trust God with what mattered most, his son. His actions was risky, was uncomfortable, it was costly, but it proved his faith was real. And faith doesn't just think or talk. It moves, it risks, it obeys. Yeah, I remember, and this is just my story, God called me to ministry, right? And I was like, I'm going to be all in with God. And that was my moment, right? Like I said, I was here for years and I had no real change. And I was like, I'm going to be all in. And the first thing God tells me to do is shut down my business and move into full-time ministry. Didn't want to do it, but that's what I wrestled with. And when I went to people around me, I was like, that's stupid. You're not going to make money. But sometimes we just have to trust him, right? Be moved to something, risk things. That's okay. I'm not saying you have to be as reckless as me or move into full-time ministry, but we have to have action in our lives. And so what is one conviction God's placed in your heart that you've been putting off? For me, it was that. I wrestled for an entire year with what God was speaking to me about. Entire year. And in that year, I still floundered. I still struggled in so much. But it was when that became my resolve, that was obedient in that, that things significantly changed in my life. And so what is that for you? What's the thing that you've wrestled with God that you put off? He's calling you to action, but you say, God, not right now. Now's not the time. I don't have the money. Whatever it is. What is one conviction God's placed on your heart that you've been putting off? In James 25, it says this, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. And then in 26, it says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also is faith dead without good works. And so my last point is this, when our faith doesn't move, it's dead. Like if we get stuck in inaction, it's dead faith. Our faith should work, but if our faith doesn't move, it's dead. And James ends with that blunt truth, right? Just like a body without breath is dead, faith without works is dead also. In a world that says just be authentic, James says, make sure your faith is alive. Don't be somebody who just shows up that goes through the motions, complains, you know, oh man, just God's not doing it for me. God even real? And it's just like, bro, like get off your butt and do something. Be engaged. Be engaged. He's not the problem. You're the problem. And I know that because I was the problem. And I begged and I pleaded and I moaned and I groaned. God, why won't you? And the whole time I had dead and useless faith because I refused to do the things he was calling me to do. A dead faith. Your actions are the proof. Your obedience is the evidence. Not perfection, but progress. Not religion, but movement. You don't earn salvation by works, but if your salvation doesn't lead to action, it may not be real. I'm not here to judge whether or not you're saved, but you should be looking within your life and see, is there evidence here? As if this is what God's word says, and I hold myself up to this kind of scrutiny, will my faith stand up to that test? Or will my inaction prove that my faith is dead and useless? Faith without obedience is like a car with no engine. Might look nice, it's not going anywhere. And so many are been here for 5 years, 10 years. Maybe you've been Christians, man, you'd be like, oh, I was raised in the church, 7 years old. But you're still stuck at year one. Because your faith has no engine. It's dead and it's useless and you just have no obedience. Faith is like breath. It's meant to move, to fill, to give life. And dead faith shows up as spiritual stagnation. But living faith is visible. It gives, it serves, it stretches, it obeys when it's hard. So what area of your life needs to start breathing again? Where's your faith gone still or silent? Where do you find yourself maybe trapped in that same cycle, going back to the same things, going back to bad relationships, bad thought life, whatever the habits are? I'm just telling you, we serve a God who's, man, he's got the power over life and death. He's freed us from the power of sin and bondage. Like he's a miracle worker. He was then and he is today. And if your life isn't growing and evolving and moving in the direction that you think it should be with the things of God, again, it's not a God problem. It's a you problem. And maybe you have this dead faith that James warns us about, and that if you would just begin to engage, just begin to be willing to be uncomfortable, begin serving and connecting and being just called to action, receiving that call and acting on it. Maybe that's just what your life needs, right? To breathe again, to live again, maybe for the first time. So what area of your life needs to start breathing again? Where's your faith gone still or silent? You know, I know tonight, messages like this, they're hard, but we need them. And James, he doesn't say that faith without work is weak, right? He's not saying, ah, man, you've almost got it. No, he says it's dead. That's the truth. That if there's no action in your life, that hand raise didn't mean anything. Like we've got to just surrender everything to him. We're not talking about trying harder or performing for God. We're talking about real, living, breathing faith. Faith that responds when God speaks, even when it's uncomfortable. Faith that moves when God says go. Abraham didn't just believe, he acted. Rahab didn't just believe, she risked. What about you? I mean, are you stuck and I just want things comfortable and I want things easy? Where is your faith stalled out? Where are you still talking but not walking? There's so many places that our faith could be called to action. And one of the big ones for me was I held on to bitterness, unforgiveness. And that's one we don't often think about. And that's what James is talking about, right? It's faith to action. God's called us to do something. And I had somebody who abused me and they hurt me. And I held on to that. And when I go back to the 8 years, you know, not only did I surrender my life to ministry and move on it, but one of the things I surrendered my life to was to be forgiving to somebody who was never going to apologize to me. They were never going to acknowledge they did anything. But faith without action's dead. And if I was going to have saving faith, a relationship with him, I couldn't hold on to that bitterness and that brokenness. I was called to action. I was called to forgive. And maybe that's your story. Maybe there's something in your life that you've held on to, you just won't let go of. And maybe it's not a person, maybe it's you, it's something you've done. You've hurt people, and you feel like you've messed something up. And James says, faith without works is dead, and maybe the work you need to do tonight is forgiving yourself. Letting go of what you've done and realizing that God has forgiven you. You know, maybe you didn't have it all together as a parent. You know, and you just missed those opportunities. And God's forgiven you, and it's time you forgive yourself. Faith with action. We need to have faith with action in our lives. Maybe it's surrendering some habit, you know, just whatever that may be in your life. Again, that was me. We just go down all the list, tell you all the sins, I had them. And when he says, man, faith without works is dead, and we say, man, I'm gonna be committed, but I'm not gonna let go of the drinking. I'm not gonna let go of the gambling. I'm not gonna let go of the pornography. I'm not gonna go of the drugs or whatever that may be. That's the work that God's calling us to in his faith. That's your responsibility to begin to give those things to him and surrender those to him if you're gonna have the faith that's alive, that moves, that works. Maybe it's stepping up to lead. You know that God's called you to greatness, to lead your family well, but your wife is the one that drags you here every week. Step up and lead. Your kids are the one pushing you towards the things of God. Step up and lead. Maybe the atmosphere at your work isn't the way you think it should be, and every Monday, this man just pulls you away. Maybe that's the place you step up and lead. Faith without works is dead. Maybe that's the place you begin to trust God and work and be uncomfortable. You just begin to, I'm not saying you gotta get on a table in the break room yelling at people, but just love them like Jesus would love them. Serve them well. Be an image bearer there. Step up and lead in your workplace. We need the faith that calls us to action to serve. Or maybe it's as simple and as powerful as just doing the next right thing. That you know those areas, you fall short. And James is saying, faith without works, without action is dead. And we keep allowing it to stay that way because we know the right things and we just don't want to put in the effort. I don't know your story, but I know God's called us and to greater things. And James isn't calling you to perfection, but he's calling you to movement. Not to be stagnant, not to be content, but to move. Because faith that doesn't move is faith that's dead. So here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to dwell on those things, to meditate on them, to spend that moment with God. And I love Psalms 139 at the end. You know, it says, Lord, point out anything in me that offends you. And it's always such a great prayer in moments like this. And just begin to ask him, Lord, where have I been passive in my faith? What are you calling me to obey? What bold step can I take to prove that my faith is alive? Just begin to spend a moment with him. And in that moment, don't just ask him, but be sure to listen. And he may tell you something you don't want to hear. That doesn't mean it's not God. Begin to listen. Write it down if you need to. Put it in your phone. Because this week, this moment, it's not about saying you have faith. It's about showing it. Let's just take that moment together. Let God speak.